know you're going for it?
I'm going for it. Joining me on Startup Report, one of the few second follow-up appearances, if this time I'll be saying his name differently than the first time, it's Zach Hetheriff. All right.
Good.
Give it to us the correct way just once.
Well, it's Zakaria Hetref is the Algerian pronunciation, and I'm sure I'm butchering it. My dad would probably correct me. But yeah, Hetref, or just Hetref, is fine.
All right. We'll have it down by the third episode next year. Okay, cool. So we're catching up with Anchor. Had Anchor on way back when. You're still alive. Made it through the pandemic. Let's dig in there. Actually, I take that back. Let's do a quick recap on what Anchor is and Anchor Rides for those who may have missed the first episode. And shame on you for missing that one.
Yeah, Anchor is the fastest growing yacht sharing community in the world. We help, simply put, you can rent private people's yachts with captain and crew. As a boat or yacht owner, you can utilize our program for tax incentives and to offset your boating costs. With boating being in such high demand right now because of COVID, it is a booming industry. We are experiencing crazy explosive growth, really exciting stuff. And along with the demand for the use of the boats, we're also seeing a demand for owners who are taking, you know, buying new boats and used boats and things like that, joining our program. So our community is just, since the last time we've talked, I'm just going to throw a rough number out there, but I'm guessing that was pre-COVID. We are probably 5 to 7 times as big as we were a year and a half ago, something like that. So really exciting what's going on here. So, I mean, unfortunately, during a pandemic, our business was one of the few who took that, the opposite curve, right? So our business increased significantly, and the boating and yachting industry right now is at a all-time high historically.
Yeah, we saw that at the smaller level with paddle boards and kayaks being impossible to get, selling out everywhere. Obviously, social distancing, not being able to do people's normal entertainment, recreation activities. What was that? Did you do any intentional pivots or change the way you put yourself out there during the pandemic?
I don't know if I'd call them pivots, okay, but I'll kind of explain the process. It was a roller coaster of emotion, fear, and everything. And I think the way a business owner experiences COVID is a lot more than a lot different, but similar in many ways. So let's take February 1 year ago, right? 1 year, 1 month ago, February hits. We just start hearing the word COVID, coronavirus, all of these buzzwords and terms come out. We noticed right off the bat, and it happened really fast. I mean, we're talking like a couple of days heads up and country shutting down. The second that happened, I'm telling you right now, at the time we had 3 full-time employees. The phone stopped ringing. The website stopped getting traffic. The Google searches went down. Everything pretty much flipped off like a light switch. For 30 to 45 days, we were terrified. I mean, absolutely terrified. Like, we can't continue this business. Everybody's calling us wanting a refund of their deposit. And the way startups work sometimes is we're borrowing our deposits to fund future things. And it just was not in the cards to refund and cancel. So coming up with new cancellation policies, catching up to all these things, super scary, 30 to 45 days. I don't know what happened. And the exact day it happened, we furloughed a couple of employees for that reason. We said, hey, I'm sorry, we can't keep you on for this time. And then one day, out of the blue, the phone rang one time, I remember. And it hadn't rang in days. And it finally rang, and it was connected to my cell phone. So I picked it up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, an order. And then right at that moment, it never stopped. And we started experiencing this huge increase. So boom, we call back our employees. Hey, I need to hire you. We qualify for PPP, EIDL, all these different things. Call back our employees. We're now employing 7 full-time folks and on a huge, huge skyrocket growth, especially comparing Q1 of 2020 to Q1 of 2021. Totally apples and oranges, unfair comparison. We're like 10X where we were, if not more. But it was this weirdest, craziest roller coaster ride we have ever been on. Definitely thought we were going to close our doors, but so glad we didn't. And we just pushed through. It's one of my things I talked about the last time we were on is I'm like, it just gets, you know, just trust me, as it gets darker and darker and darker, there's always a silver lining. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just about who can hold in there the longest and survive. And survival of the fittest really was a thing. And I, gosh, I can't explain to you how crazy it is for our team to go through something like that and really test the grit of your startup team. And we did that and we came out on top. So exciting stuff.
And how did you ultimately experience that uptick? Was it demand driven? Were people just saying, you know, we've got some stimulus money or we just don't have other things to spend our money on. So we were demanding it. And then did you have to go, you know, did you already have plenty of inventory or did you have to go out and try to fight for more inventory?
Yeah. So great question. So our inventory they're workhorses, right? So they can do a lot for us. Think one day on a boat can cost, you know, an average on our site is $1,800 is the average transaction. So you don't need to scale up a lot of boats really fast, like a home or an Uber, because they're only $10 fares. These are $1,800 experiences and average transactions. So incremental growth on the supply side is okay. You touched on something that I want to talk about, which is kind of just fun and funny, and talk about learning curves and curveballs being thrown at you. So phones start ringing and the clientele changed overnight. Turns out the same people who like to go to nightclubs and strip clubs, even who will spend $5,000, $10,000 on bottle service and more to be in a nightclub are the same kind of people who want to be on yachts when those nightclubs are closed. So the crowd changed. We were usually booking for wealthy individuals who were going out with friends and family and stuff like that. And then the party crowd started realizing that yachts are like my own personal floating club. That's true. It's not wrong. It's actually correct. So damages started increasing. Chargebacks and fraud started increasing. And we started having to quickly adapt to new challenges that we weren't used to. Expensive lessons sometimes. Sometimes cheap, but sometimes expensive. So we had a couple of chargebacks. So we had to button up our processes for checking people in properly so that if there was questions, we could prevent fraud and also fight fraud. And so we've really buttoned up our operation because of this crowd. You can hate on that crowd all you want. I'm not in that crowd. I don't party at nightclubs. You won't see me out doing stuff like that, but I don't mind it. And it's part of our business. And we have to understand that. So we want people to come on our boats and have fun. But we also have to know, like, what are our policies and procedures in order to, one, prevent that stuff? And if it does inevitably happen, how can you come out on top and have a win-win-win for all? And that means the customer, that means the boat owner, the captain, the crew, and anchor. That's a win-win-win-win-win, right? So really tough challenges, even in great times, is like you had to learn all this new stuff because even with this increase in business, you might lose more money than you were losing before if you let it happen too long. So we had to nip it in the bud really fast, and we did. But that's why I think we're a more mature company. Definitely from a year and a half ago when you and I spoke, we're more than a year and a half more mature.
Yeah, startup years are like, 5-1 in not quite dog years, I guess, but feels like it.
Sure.
And, you know, you were always very flexible and willing to embrace the opportunity of additional services. You know, you'd gotten into catering or food. And so was this party crowd? I mean, we don't have to get into specifics of which services you added to the mix, but did you find some other revenue opportunities there as well? Or did you find a more of a demand, or, you know, are you like stringing disco balls up from the rafter or the,
yeah,
the top?
Yeah, you name it. We've done quite a bit. If it's legal, we do it. But, you know, that's kind of our phrase to folks is, but what's happened is, you know, we were getting kind of shooed away by marinas on the West Coast or more liveaboard marinas. That's when people live on their boats. So imagine you're enjoying your Saturday afternoon on your catamaran yacht and a group of 13 loud, noisy charterers comes by. Well, they go up to the marina office and they complain, hey, I'm paying for a liveaboard marina, not for a charter marina. So the marinas were kind of against us at the beginning. And we've started to show them that not only are we good at what we do it legally. The Coast Guard is okay with what we do, but we're willing to work with people and be flexible. So new marinas are now extending their restaurants to us and saying, okay, if you bring in charter guests to here, you have to, you can stock the boats, you can do whatever you want. If they need grocery shopping, you can still provision like a normal provisioning service. But if they want to cater, got to cater from us. And they started making custom menus for the boats and really co-marketing these things. Not to mention, they're like, hey, we have a pool that has a pool party, or we have this event. Anchor can help bring in people to our guests. So I'd say that initial rejection from the marinas has dissipated, not 100%, but a lot, about 90%. And now we're becoming a little bit more sophisticated in how we approach these partnerships. I don't know what new services we've added other than like a wash program for our owners. We offer an affordable wash program for them to get the boats scrubbed down and keep them clean between charters. They get free cleanings after every charter, but a cleaning is different from a wash. So we have a wash service now. So while Airbnb brings in, you got to bring in your own cleaning crew, or they can match you with somebody. They don't really turn that into a profit center so much. It's more of a transactional profit. We're actually turning wash into a real profit center. And the margins are quite good for that kind of stuff, if you have the right density and volume.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the company itself and its sort of scaling trajectory. You're refining the product. You obviously had a change in stream and have adapted to that. So outside of the sort of internal operations, where are you at with getting Anchor in more locations?
So we're currently raising a round. We've approached several VCs in conversations with several very well-known VCs that see the growth, see the space, see the industry, see the market size, see the problem, and see the team. So we're looking for strategic partners that believe in Anchor. We're raising a round. We have a really interesting, like for Anchor, I'll share these numbers. These are pretty cool. New market costs $75,000 and reaches break even in less than 9 months. Okay. So for less than the cost of a single pontoon boat, you want to start a boat rental company, you got to buy some pontoon boats. Most of these rental tunes are less than 75,000, but you could easily spend $5,000 on a pontoons. Easy. 100K and above. For less than the cost of one boat, asterisk there, we can launch an entire fleet, an entire new market with office, personnel, marketing budget, a roster of boats that we've recruited using digital strategies, no overhead costs other than the people. And it's just an amazing model that I'm reaching break even in less than 9 months. 9 months is conservative. We soft launched West Palm with less than 6 boats in the fleet, and we're already profitable in that market. In 3 months, we're profitable. So we have a really great model that allows us to scale to new lakes quickly. And we've used some cool analytics to figure out which waterways that's going to be most effective at. So step one, raise capital. Step two, launch the cities that we've already identified have a need for a service like Anchor and hit those break-even and profitability zones. Anchor's now live in 6 cities without any major fundraising, 6 cities. We are able to maintain profitability at the 6 city level. So Anchor is now a profitable, long-term, sustainable business who does not need VC money to stay alive. It's no longer we're raising money to stay alive. It's we're raising money to grow super fast. And therefore, our valuation has jumped significantly. Our convertible note holders are all probably going to be very, very happy when we convert. And we are looking for that next strategic partner and hope to close by midsummer, July-ish, July, August.
That's great. And there seems to be quite a bit of capital out there. So it's a good time. It's a good time to be raising. When you look at the benefits of scaling, there's the brand benefits of sort of just dominating the market so that when it becomes a brand familiarity, path of least resistance deal, then Anchor wins there. And what about other potential savings as far as back end you know, being able to leverage backend support in one place for other places, and then even sort of crossover rentals, people traveling around the country. Where do you see the biggest benefits coming from scaling?
Well, one of the things we noticed is that our guests, they, not all of them, some customers on our website are coming for a one-time transaction. We've figured that out because, one, we can run a quick analysis to see who's rebooking. And some folks, this is a very expensive transaction for them. It's probably the most luxurious birthday they've ever thrown, you know, and it's maybe a $3,000 day charter. For others, $3,000 day charter is a drop in the bucket compared to their overall chartering budget. These are folks who charter super yachts in the Med for 100K plus per week. So coming to our side is nothing. We want to retain those customers long-term. Those are the customers that you want to keep coming back. It's not because of the acquisition costs. It's just because they're chartering in multiple cities all the time. And once they learn to trust a charter brand, trust is such a huge issue in this industry. Take Miami, for example. This is spring break right now. We're talking in spring break of 2021. Miami is almost shut down right now because of the behavior of some folks, right? So Miami has a real problem on land, and it has a problem at sea too. And their charter industry, especially with COVID, went to hell, absolutely hell. Chargeback city, cancellation city, the Coast Guard's buckling down and arresting people left and right because they're doing illegal charters. Club promoters became yacht charter brokers and know nothing about the industry and aren't telling them the right information about what's still owed, what's not owed. Captains are getting stiffed. Captains are getting held at gunpoint for miscommunications. This is real stuff that's happening. So there's a massive opportunity for Anchor to build the right tools and come in and fix these problems. And our site has proven to fix the problems with day charters. And there are significant ones. So, you know, I see opportunity in not only scaling more markets fast, but also taking the cities that exist and really solving the problem. Yeah, so for any city we go into, not only are we solving the problems that exist in the charter industry, which is hard to see if you're not in the industry or experiencing it, right? You don't realize the problem until you go rent a yacht and then show up and realize, oh, I owe another $500 to the captain plus gratuity. And if I don't give that, my boat's not going anywhere. So there's like real problems happening out there. So Anchor not only goes into a market and fixes the problem, we also expand the size of that market by offering these solutions. So I was talking about Airbnb. The travel industry was X amount, but Airbnb creating these new options increased that market cap. So while let's just call the travel industry was, let's just throw a number out there, $100 billion per year. I'm sure probably more. $100 billion became $120 billion like that because Airbnb started dripping in some new options, making things available and trustworthy. The old option was go to Craigslist and find some weirdo. Now I can go to Airbnb and find somebody who I can see is trusted and gone through verification and all this stuff. So they increased the market cap and the industry size by creating new options. So Anchor's doing the same thing, making yacht charters not only fun, but safe and very easy to facilitate. So that's it. Just we want to be that brand. There is no brand for yacht rentals. We said this a year and a half ago. We're not there yet, but neither are our competitors. So we want to become the brand. Airbnb to me seems like the brand. VRBO is definitely second place, but doesn't have that same ring to it. We feel like Anchor is the brand and the other guys are the other guys. So we're really trying to get to that status. We're at that status here in Tampa. People are searching by the word Anchor. Anchor yacht rental, Anchor boat rental, Anchor charter, Anchor this. So we know in our stats that people are searching by us by brand and they're not searching for our competitors by brand. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking to do that in just many different markets. And the formula is really not that difficult. It's really not. Once you've got it down pat, the software's really difficult, the compliance, really difficult, the language and verbiage, really difficult. But once you've got what we've got in place, scaling's not hard. Scaling's somewhat easy.
Yeah, it's great. And all that difficulty gives you some barriers to entry as well, which gives you a little more headroom to grow. Well, it's great to see the fire still burning. You know, obviously it's a grind. We had a pandemic, some rough times, some better times, some adaptability as you've done from day one. And so it's always spirit lifting to see, you know, get to catch back up after a year and a half and see that you're still thriving and growing and moving in the right direction and still fighting the good fight. So congrats on that.
Always.
We'll keep.
Yes, sir. I appreciate having me on. And I guess if anybody who's watching this, one, go check out our website, anchorrides.com, ANCHORRIDES.com. You can search by whatever waterway you're on. I'm sure this reaches people all over the country. And then, yeah, I love it. So, go check us out. If you are an investor who's potentially interested in joining our round, now is the time. We are closing down on some really, really great strategic investors who share our vision of differentiation in the high end side. So, if you want to reach out to me, I mean, feel free to go out, go through you or reach out directly through the website or anything like that. So we'd love to chat. Yeah, with you.
And we'll zap the website along the bottom here so everybody can see it.
All right.
In post, as they say. Cool. All right, Zach. Well, it's great to catch up and glad to see you're doing well. We'll check in next year when you're in about 50 cities and have another celebration.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.